Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon. New Testament scripture this evening is from the first letter of John, chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. And this text is printed in your bulletin. I neglected to say that. I apologize for the Old Testament passage that I read earlier. They're both there on the back page of the bulletin if you'd like to follow along. And this is what John has to say to us. This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sin to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. My dear children, I am writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of all the world. So John here in this letter uses an image that is very common in Scripture and especially common in John. You see it all over his gospel, John's gospel, as well as in these three letters that we have later in the New Testament. And the image of light is used in Scripture to help describe a physical nature, to describe a spiritual nature of God that parallels the physical nature of light. So if we think of the physical nature of light, it is by light that we see things. Light reveals things to us. Because it's light in here, we can see each other. That's the nature of light, the physical nature of light. And so Scripture uses this image to talk metaphorically about God and his spiritual nature, being the nature of light, is that God reveals that which is true. To say God is light is to speak about the revelatory nature of God. He reveals what is true about himself. He does that in his word. He did that through his Son, Jesus Christ. He does that as he lives within us by his Holy Spirit. He reveals himself so that by that light we may come to know him and we may see who he is. Scripture also tells us that God reveals our neighbor to us. He shows us who our fellow human beings really are, according to his truth, according to his creation, according to his love for them. We may have certain opinions about our fellow human beings. We may have certain things we think about them, but God has revealed to us what is true of them. And because of what is true of them, he says that we are to love them. We're to love our neighbor. And thirdly, revealing himself and revealing our neighbor to us, he also reveals ourselves to us. It is in the light of God's revelation that we come to know certain things about ourselves, truth about ourselves that we would not otherwise know. Realities about who we are and our human nature, a nature that is bent towards sin. And we would not know that. We would not understand that if it were not for the light of God's revelation. And so Jesus, as is very well known, says, we are to love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as you love yourself. But a key element to love is that you need to know the object of your love. You can't love someone else if you do not know them, if you cannot, if you will, see them. And so, God is light. He reveals who He is so we may love Him as He is. He reveals our neighbor to us so that we may love our neighbor as God created them to be loved by God and by us. And we are even commanded to love ourselves, but to love ourselves as we truly are in the light of who we are. And God reveals to us who we are, but here we begin to push back. Perhaps up to now we have said, well, light is good, truth is good, it's good to really know who God is, it's good to know who our fellow human beings are. I think, okay about knowing who I really am. You're kind of implying, Steve, there's something about me that, and maybe we start getting a little bit uneasy when it comes to us. Because part of what is revealed about us is not just that we are loved, which certainly God reveals to us about ourselves, but also that we are sinners. That we are people who are disobedient towards God. We are people who have rebelled against God. That is in part what the light of God reveals, and it's really that part that John focuses on here in these verses. The light of God reveals to you, John says, and reveals to me that I have sinned, that I have sin in my life. Now that might be more light that I want shined on me. That may be more light that I want God, let alone anybody else, to kind of bring forth. I don't mind people seeing kind of on the outside who I am, but I don't know that I want anything to reveal who I am on the inside. And we begin becoming uncomfortable with that. And we don't like this idea that God reveals sin, and even that He reveals it to ourselves, because then we have to do something about it. And so John says that one of the reactions that a lot of people have is they don't want to live in God's light anymore. I'm going to step out of that light, says the person, and I'm going to live in darkness. Because darkness, where there is no light, darkness is a place I can hide. Darkness is a place where other people can't see me. Maybe God can't see me. Certainly I'm not aware of God's light shining on me. And I don't even have to come face to face with myself in the darkness. And so people live in spiritual darkness in order to avoid the light. But when you live in spiritual darkness and you're avoiding the light, then you are unable to be in that loving relationship with God. You're unable to be in a loving relationship with your neighbor. And of course, we're talking God's kind of love here. And you are unable to truly love yourself in the way that God loves you if you choose to live in the darkness. Now, what does it practically mean to live in the darkness? It means that people say, I don't want to have anything to do with God. I'm not going to spend any time in His Word, because when I read the Bible, it shows me sin in my life. It challenges sin in my life. It tells me what I'm supposed to do about sin in my life, and I don't like that. So I'm going to get rid of this part of God's light. And I come to church, and I sit in a pew, and the pastor says something about sin. The hymn says something about sin. We do this prayer of confession thing, you know, where everybody else is talking, and I mean, I'm talking, but I don't really mean it. I don't like that. I'm going to stop going to church. There's too much light there, so to speak. I'm going to step out of fellowship. I'm going to step out of God's Word. I'm going to step out of prayer. Because when I pray, sometimes I get this feeling that there's maybe some things going on within me that God is not happy about. So if I don't pray, I can just ignore it, and then I don't get that bad feeling. And we begin to live in the darkness, John says, because we don't like the light, because it reveals. And we even go so far, as he said in Scripture, that we deny sin. Not only are we saying, I'm trying to get away from that light that reveals sin, but now I'm just going to say sin doesn't exist. And he says, well, if you say that, you're just being a fool. Here we are in this sanctuary. If we somehow were in turning off the light, if we could completely black out this place to where you literally couldn't see your hand in front of your face, and we were just sitting here without any sound, and then I said, I can't see anybody, so now the sanctuary is empty, all of you would say, Steve, you're a fool. Just because you can't see us doesn't mean we're not here. And just because you live in darkness, says John, and you say sin doesn't exist and sin isn't a concern for me and sin is not anything that I should be worried about, he says you're a fool. In darkness, you may not see it, you may not perceive it, you may not be aware of its truth or willing to recognize its truth, but you're fooling yourself because sin is real and there are consequences for sin. So what do we do? Well, we need to live in the light. But what do I do with the sin? If I'm not going to go into the darkness part of what we're talking about here, if I'm willing to say I'm still going to read the Word, I'm still going to be involved in church, I'm still going to be in relationship with God, but in all of those places I come face to face with my sin, what am I going to do? Well, let me tell you, John says, what Jesus told us to do. As you live in the light, as you come face to face with your sin, you confess your sin. Because God, who knows that we can't take care of or deal with our own sin, not wanting us to disappear into an everlasting darkness of separation from Him, says, you can stay in the light being aware of your sin because I am going to make for you a solution for your sin. And that's going to happen in my Son, Jesus Christ. He's going to die on a cross because of your sin, taking upon Himself your penalty. So when you confess your sin, I, God, will be faithful to you, just meaning I will do what I have promised, and I will forgive your sin. That's how we are to deal with sin in the light. And that is the draw of the love of God to keep us from moving into darkness, staying in the light, realizing that the light can be very uncomfortable at times, but when it is exposing sin, we now have the opportunity through confession to continue living in the light because we are forgiven of our sin. That sin is no longer held against us. We will not suffer eternal punishment for that sin. We can continue to live in the light. So what we need to do is we need to bring our sin into the light, if you will. We need to be willing to recognize that the place where who we truly are in this unhealthy and unsavory part of ourselves, we need to be willing to bring it into the light. We bring it into the light before God by confessing it to Him. We may need to bring it into the light with each other, especially if we have sinned against each other. As Scripture said, we need to go and we need to seek forgiveness from one another. I am sorry I sinned against you when I did this, when I said this. Will you forgive me? That's the language of confession, person to person. And we also need to have that conversation with ourselves. In a way, we need to talk to ourselves and we need to say to ourselves, yes, Steve, you sin. Do you trust God that He will keep His promise, that when you confess your sin, when you are in the light with Him about your sin, that He will forgive you? You need to trust that, Steve. You need to hold on to that. And so the sin comes into the life not to be elevated, not to be continually bringing about shame or disgust or any kind of sense of, oh, what a terrible person I am. But it's being brought into the light for the very purpose that it can be confessed and be forgiven, and then it's forgotten. Not that, of course, that God literally forgets anything, but it's forgotten in the sense that there's no more consequence for that sin. That consequence Christ has taken upon Himself. Or if I come to you and ask you for forgiveness, if you truly forgive me, what you're saying, Steve, I'm not going to hold that against you. I'm not going to turn around and tell other people what a jerk you are, even though you were. I'm not going to try to revenge myself and do to you what you did to me. I'm not going to try to hurt you like you hurt me, because I forgive you. The sin is brought into the light. It is dealt with, and then it is set aside so that it no longer impacts our relationship with God, our relationship with one another, and in a sense, even our relationship with ourselves. To close this time, I'd like to read the verses again. I encourage you perhaps even to close your eyes this time and just listen again to what John has to say. This is the message we have heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in Him at all. So we're lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We're not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that His Word has no place in our hearts. My dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He Himself is a sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of the world. Amen.